try to make this thing feel good to me, and I every time I come to church, I can get a shout on, amen. That ain't helping me. That's like giving a child candy to make him live on it. Amen. I need something that's going to challenge my faith, that's going to challenge my love, that's going to cause me to produce fruit. I wish I had somebody here. And so he tells them, he says, here, give them what I've given you. And so what we get now, we got some ministers, instead of us giving the people what God said, we're trying to give them what somebody book has said. We're trying to give them motivational speeches. Instead of saying that you need to turn from sin, we're telling them there's some bad choices that you made. No, that's not, you're falling short of the glory of God. How is that? Because you don't look like God when you do that. We have to look like God. And if what we're doing makes us look like anything other than God, then we need to stop it, because God said, I want you to look just like me. The whole reason why you're here is to look like me. The whole reason why you're here is so that you can mimic everything I've done, so that you can be a replica of me in the earth. I wish I had somebody that heard me today. You got to understand that as a disciple, the word disciple means a disciplined learner. I've learned from him. He's taught me with his own hand and his own mouth. Oh, come on and say amen. And so since I've been taught by him, I'm going to distribute what I've been taught. Amen. He said, and so he took the bread. He gave thanks to God for the bread, and then he gave it to them, and he gave them also the fish. And verse 12 says, and when they were filled, he said unto the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Look at here. We got to understand that when he gives us something, he intends for us to take good care of it. Oh, Lord, have mercy here. He even tells those that he gave those talents to, he says to them, he says, here's the talents. You go and you make usury of it. In other words, you get the interest off of it. And when he came back, the one that hid it, he said, you're wicked and evil because you didn't do what I told you to do. He said, I know you're a man that has judgment, and if I didn't have something to give you, then I know that you would destroy me. But he said, because you didn't even try. Because you didn't do anything at all, he said, you'll be cast out into darkness. Amen? And so he says, when they were filled, now this is what gets me, is that they had two fish and five barley loaves. They had some hot water cornbread and some sardines. Amen? And how is it that everybody ate until they couldn't eat no more? That miracle lets us know that if you put it in the master's hand, it's going to always be more than enough. If you put it in the master's hand, it's always going to work out the way that we need it to work out. We can't fight it. We can't do it. We have to let him do it. I wish I had somebody here. He says that when they were filled, and that means that everybody there, 5,000 plus, had got full off of two fish and five barley loaves. It ain't no way that can happen in the natural. It has to be spiritual. It has to be supernatural. It has to be above what's natural. And so when he did that.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holding Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Jesus, I love the name. Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Praise the Lord. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh now for this, another opportunity to hear your word. Lord, thank you for those who made the sacrifice to be here at this lunch hour, who pressed and pushed their way to hear from you. Now speak to our hearts, challenge us where we are, and then reveal the principles of your word that we might practice them for profit and give you all the praise. It is in Jesus' name we pray, and the people of God said amen. Well, give the Lord a hand to praise as you're seated in God's presence. Reverend Smith, I'm going to use you to read today for me, sir. Reverend Smith will be celebrating 19 years on Friday of his answering his call to the gospel ministry and being faithful to the Lord, to me and to this ministry. Amen. So I thought I'd honor him today and let him read. St. John chapter 21. And I want you to begin at verse 1.
St. John chapter 21, verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and the two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish which ye now have caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken.
Amen. For just a little while, I want to focus on staying true to your calling. Staying true to your calling. Certainly, this is a word that will be helpful to the believers to understand that there are situations, there are crises, there are changes that will occur in our lives, especially if we've been called out and called to ministry work. The devil will always try to get you off the path. He will always try to sidetrack you. He'll always try and divert your attention from what your true ministry and mission is, even by way of personal hurt, pain, disconnect, as these men were disconnected from Jesus, because if you know the story, Jesus has now died and yet risen. And yet these men who are distraught now because they were followers, and now that Jesus is no longer visibly in their presence, they have also diminished their focus on their own ministry. Now, one of the reasons Jesus took these men and transferred his trend of thought into their thinking and prepared them and lived with them and ministered with them and shared life with them for the 3.5 years he did was to prepare them for this time. And he was not always going to be leading them around, but rather gave them the information and the knowledge to know what to do as it related to their ministry. Now, what's interesting about these verses read in your hearing today is that the leader, and he was the lead follower, not the leader of the disciples. Let's be clear about that. Peter was the lead follower. And so it all really begs to ask the question, who are you following? Because Jesus, like he called Peter, he called the other 11 as well. All right, so it was Jesus who called the disciples, not Peter. But one day, Peter got to the point where, you know, before this day came, Jesus told Peter that he was going to deny him 3 times. And when that happened, before the cock crew, Peter went out and the Bible says followed afar off. So he left from being the lead follower to the rear follower. He followed Jesus further than anybody else had followed him. And so now Jesus has died. They put him in the tomb, but he has already gotten up and he has already shown himself to others. But now look at what Peter says. He says, I go a fishing. I. He spoke in defense of Peter. He spoke for himself. He was talking to 6 other of the disciples, of the other brothers. He simply said at this point, I'm no longer a fisher of men. I'm leaving my vocation and going back to my occupation. I'm going back to what I used to do, what I knew so well in doing. And all I really know is what I used to do. And so that's what he made up his mind when he did not know personally that Jesus had gotten up out of that grave, that he was going back to his old way. Can I tell you, when the Lord calls you from your old ways, your old lifestyle, when he gives you a new mission, a new focus, you need to understand that is not complete until you're complete. So just because Jesus himself, who had shared with them and shown them and even told them that he was going to have to leave them and go away to the Father, and he was going to not going to leave them comfortless, but he would give to them another comforter. All of these things were prophesied and spoken of before it happened. So there should not have been an excuse for them not to remain faithful in time of trouble. And so some of us forget that the same God that was with us when he called us is the same God who will continue with us until he completes in us what he has called us to. And so what's interesting is when you look at the text and look at the word, Jesus has a discourse with them on the water. But I want to back up before that. Turn to Luke chapter 5. And begin at verse 4. Luke chapter 5, verse 4.
Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. Mm-hmm. And Simon answering him said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net.
All right, listen at this. Now, Simon's saying, listen, Lord, I ain't trying to be disrespectful, but I'm a professional. We've been toiling all night long. We know about fishing. We know the weather. We know the ups and downs of the water, the gauging of the water. We know when the fish come close to land. We know when they go out. We know all of this. And all of our knowledge says that it ain't a good time for fishing. We've been out there all night doing it. He said, but just to humor you, we'll let them down. Now, read on.
And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break.
Listen. Now, they hadn't had many experiences like that, where they caught so many fish that their net broke. Continue to read.
And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships.
Both the ships.
So that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken.
Now listen at this next verse.
And so was also James and John.
Not just him, but his partners also. Now they were called in to help with the draught of fish that they had caught. And so now all of them seeing this as well. Continue on.
The sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon, and Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not. From henceforth thou shalt catch men.
All right, thank you. Now listen at this. Jesus said, man, if you're excited about this, he said, let me tell you, from here on, from now on, you're going to catch men just like you've done here today. Now, this is Jesus prophesying about his future. And he's also, but I want you to notice what happens. He catches so many fish, one, that he can't handle them by himself, which suggests that ministry is not to be done by just one. We're going to need partners in ministry. The Lord's never called anybody to do it all by themselves, but rather to have partnership. So now look at this. The partners come, and their boats are filled also, that both boats almost what?
Sink.
I mean, that's blessings beyond blessings. I mean, that's a great harvest of fish to be able to get it where both boats, so much so that the Bible says that their nets break. All right. Now, when they come to shore, having been astonished, why? Because they'd never caught a great drought like this before. And so Jesus had ordered them to let the net down. And so in doing so, they followed and obeyed him and knew that this was a direct result of obeying Jesus. But now here's the point. The Lord Jesus wants to show them that just as they were successful in this manner, so will they be successful in their vocation. Now, as they have been in their occupation, they are moving from catching fish to catching souls. And so now he's giving them an identity for this transition. You know, a lot of times people are afraid to change and to do different things because they don't know how and whether or not they'll be successful. But if the Lord says do it,
Amen.
What you need to know is you might not have ever done it ever before in your life. But if the Lord says this is what you're going to do from now on, then know that when he ordered you to do it, he stamped success with it.
Amen.
Now, he had already given them an opportunity, first glance, at what their ministry was going to be like. Now, let's go back to St. John 21, and I want you to see again, short about that 8th verse.
And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, mm-hmm. and fish laid thereon and bread. Mm-hmm. Jesus said unto them, bring up the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken.
All right, pause right there. Now, Jesus is showing them something again. Back up to where he calls them children.
Then Jesus said unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no.
All right. Now, they own the ship again. Peter said, I go fishing. They say, we go also. They get out there. They have a similar experience to what they had when Jesus called them. This time, he's not on the boat. He's on land. And notice here, because what's interesting is, when I looked up the word children, it meant, in this context, immature Christians. And so now, they didn't know it was Jesus on the seashore. But he asks them a question. Have you caught anything? Do you have any meat? Were you successful in fishing? And they chided out, no. Well, he says children, because what he was saying, just like a bad child, you were called from that. And now that I'm not in your face, you've run back to the thing you used to do, thinking you were going to be successful in it. So he says, as an immature Christian, you went back to the thing I called you from. He says, but listen here. He said, tell you what you do. Cash in that on the right side. Now, hear this again now, because what he wants them to do is understand who he still is and bring back to their remembrance, this has happened before. And so now he tells them what to do, and they do it, and they catch a great drought that they have to call the partnerships in again to help bring this load to land. The disciple whom Jesus loved, John, said, it's Jesus, Peter. Peter throws on his fishing coat because he had just his undergarments on, and he jumped out in the water trying to get to Jesus because he wants to again recertify himself as being the man that he was supposed to be. But yet that was proof that he was out there, that he had already gone back to his immature ways. He was trying to impress Jesus by jumping in the water and getting over there. Now, here's what's interesting. When he gets there, fish and bread is already set up. Jesus don't have a net, ain't got a hook and a pole, but he's got fish already there on the grill and bed already baked. The bread is baked and everything else, and he tells him, he said, listen, bring your stuff on in here. See, because what you need to at least learn is if you can't do it all together by yourself, then you ought to at least help to continue what has already been started to continue on. Now, you can eat my fish, but bring yours. Let's cook some of yours up, too. I got this for y'all because y'all been out there all night. You ain't got nothing. I know you're hungry. And any real fisherman know when you get on the water, just make you a little hungry. You know, especially if you're in a small boat or whatever in the rocking of the water and all, you got to have you some food because it just messes with you. But anyway, they were hungry and he dealt with that. And all of this was to remind them that they could not be successful in doing anything else than what the Lord had called them to. Amen. My brothers and sisters, there are things that happen in ministry, that happen in life, where the devil will try to shift our focus and make us give up or make us give in or make us turn around or make us slow down or make us feel like, you know what, maybe my season is over. Maybe my time is up. Maybe this ain't for me no more. But the devil is a liar. Amen. God is faithful. God is faithful. And listen, if you are not successful in what you're doing, it's because what you're doing is not what God has called you to. Listen at this. Luke chapter 6, verse 39, Jesus is giving a parable, and he asks, can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall in the ditch? The follower following the follower, but he no longer had directions and instructions because he had not been promoted to leader. He forgot that God had already given to Jesus Christ the plan, and Jesus had revealed the plan to them, and yet until they do it the way that he said do it, they would not be successful.
Amen.
How many times have we missed our blessings following other folk who chose not to follow the Lord?
Amen, amen, amen.
Or the Lord may have been non-present as far as their consciousness, and so they felt alone, or they felt abandoned, or they felt like they no longer had the ability to do it, so they switched plans and decided to do something else. And because you were following the follower, when the follower got lost, you got lost also.
Amen.
You know, the problem with following a follower is that a follower is just as lost as you are. They just pretend like they know where they're going. Now, to Peter's credit, I must admit, he did not ask them to follow him. See, some of you don't understand the power of influence. See, you don't ask to be a role model. You don't ask sometime to be a leader that people will follow. Some people just notice there are leadership qualities about you. Some people just notice you have a confidence about yourself that they lack. Some people just notice you look like you got it going on, got it together, and they want to be like you. Well, sometimes because they can't be better than you, then at least they'll settle for you. And as a follower of Christ, Paul had it right. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. Which means while you may not see Christ himself, you'll see the image, the essence of Christ in me. It's the Christ in me that's more than me that you would see that will cause you to want to follow me. But if you don't see no Christ in me and you following me, then that means I'm blind and you blind, and not many steps hereafter we gonna both fall in the ditch. Remember that. You need to ask folk every now and then, do you know where you're going? Well, when they say, yeah, I know where I'm going, they say, where? Because if you know where you're going, you ought to know where it is.
Amen.
And if you know where it is, you ought to know or have a map of how to get there. But you don't even stop there. When you get there, what you going to do? I wish I had a help in the house. Because just to go there and do nothing there still profits you nothing. And so to be true to your calling, Christians need to be true to their calling. You're going to have troubles. You're going to have trials. You're going to have folk on the journey who say they're following Jesus. But when that path veers off the path you know is the path Jesus told you to stay on, don't get it twisted. Don't follow the past. Follow the path.
Amen.
Even when you are not sure about all of the things on the path, if you're sure this is the path he called you to, be faithful.
Amen.
Follow him. Follow him closely. Follow him clearly, excuse me, and follow him committedly. When you do that, you will be successful in everything.